You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to the next instalment of the Punchestown Festival. Another fantastic day of racing to come from Ireland. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark. Yes, in good spirits. Thank you.
Good. You enjoyed the Punchestown Festival so far?
I have, yeah. It's been excellent stuff. It's a bit cold, I must admit. I wish I would have bought me a bigger coat. The long-range forecast was for slightly better weather. It's not too bad today, actually. It's bright and breezy, no overnight rain. I think the last bit of rain we had was sort of close of play yesterday. But the one thing I did notice yesterday, as sure as everybody else did, that the conditions at Punchestown were a good deal more testing than the good to yielding in places that the clerk of the course had stated before things opened up yesterday, because we had a couple of shot winners and both of them had got soft or heavy ground form. Chamois ran Walk to Freedom. And it looked really tiring, particularly on the hurdle track. I think the chase track's fine. The time suggested that as well. I think we're just on the good, on the yielding side of good on the chase track. But that hurdles course, it does take some getting. I think it's finding quite a few horses out.
Well, that's interesting. Obviously, we've got both Hurricane Fly and Jeski running over 3 miles on the hurdles track today. So any question marks over them staying would be obviously heightened.
Well, that would be the issue with both of them, wouldn't it, really? I mean, the thing which you've got with both horses is that they won't mind the softening in the ground, particularly Hurricane Fly. It's almost like he can't have it both ways. He wants soft ground or heavy ground to be at his best, but does he really want those conditions? Now he's racing over 3 miles, only time will tell. We just don't know. I don't think anyone knows, even, you know, Willie Mullins. It's like Shane Hill yesterday. Everyone looks at his run style and, you know, Willie Mullins is adamant that he'll get the trip. He runs like a 3-miler, and then as soon as he turned in the home straight yesterday and he's asked to go beyond a distance he's never tried before, and he just stopped. So if you've been asked to take about a short price about something that hasn't proven it, you know, you could pay a very heavy premium for finding out.
OK, well, we'll look at that race in more detail later on. Just a quick note as well. We've also got a bit of a cracker at 6:40 with Under Sobak in action. Andy, are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I mean, looking forward to that as a race, not as a spectacle rather than a betting medium. I think we'll just kind of gloss over that race in many respects. But yeah, he should be spectacular again. I presume he'll make the run in. And, you know, the rest are playing for the places barred accidents. You know, William Munns hasn't made any mistakes so far with the short price favourites that have lined up and had their reputations on the line. The only one who's missed his lines was Don Polly, but there waiting in the wings was Vasilido to come through and take the prize. So yeah, even if he doesn't win it with his number one, he's got something else that saves his bacon.
Yeah, it just shows the strength and depth he's got at the festival, doesn't it, at the Punchestown Festival. Let's get stuck into it in more detail then. The 3:40 is the first race this afternoon. We start with a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Bog War very short at the top of the market compared to the rest of them. 5s into 4 to 1 this morning. Pepper Pot 14s into 11s. Money for Master Appeal as well, who's 16s into 11s. It's 14s for Argentino. Dandridge is another one at 14 to 1. 16s for Call Me PJ and Golden Spear, and 20 to 1 or bigger prices for the others. To Choose doesn't run here, by the way. That's the non-runner. So an intriguing first race, Andy. Wide open as you'd expect, but Bog War, is he a bit short of 4 to 1?
I actually don't think he is, in relation to what he's up against and the kind of form he's in at the moment. I actually think he'll go for much shorter than that. I think he'll be around sort of 11 or 4, 3 to 1 as the tapes go up. Every suggestion to believe that he'll justify the market support in his direction, based on his last two victories. Both have been very, very impressive. On ground, Nav and I actually didn't think on the day that he'd handle, because he's always looked at a horse that just wanted a bit of juice in the ground, but not the arduous conditions he faced that day. But he did not quicken up well in the hands of David Mullins to win in the style of a horse that was clearly going places. And he was backed as if defeat was out of the question the other day. He went off 9 to 4, but he was well back from 9 to 2, 5 to 1 in the morning. And he got the job done in even more imperious fashion at Fairy House on the better ground. When David Mullins got hold of him at the two
at the second last. He really did quicken up as well. He left the field for dead. Within a matter of 200 yards, he'd opened up a 6 to 7 length advantage. And he was eased down on the running as well. So I think there's definitely more to come from this individual. He's got a further 9 pounds, but I don't think that impost is enough to stop him from winning again. It's just basically, can he get a clear run? Can he, in this big field, can he have the luxury of getting a clear passage? Which unfortunately wasn't the case with the gamble on the first race yesterday, which I put up at 10 to 1. Oscar Knight, who went off 7 to 2, only to get brought down in the melee in front of the stand. So unfortunately, these horses are seemingly well handicapped do have a habit or a way of getting beat sometimes. But hopefully, it won't be the case with Bob Brawl. He's absolutely in a fantastic place at the moment. He's got a deadly turn of foot. He's got form around the track. He's actually got form over further as well. So he ticks a hell of a lot of boxes in the first, and he's my strongest bet on the card.
There you go. Andy's strongest bet on the card then is Bog War in the opener. The second race is the 4:15. This one is a Grade C handicap chase over 2 miles. The market headed by Ned Buntline this morning, who's well backed as well, 13-2 into 9-2. Upazo is sixes, tens for USA. Jackson's Lady is 12-1 and 14s or bigger for the others. What do you make of the 4:15 then, Andy?
Yeah, it's not a race I'm absolutely mad keen on. I've never been the greatest judge with two of my handicap chases in the past, and my record in them probably suggests that it probably won't improve as time goes on. But you have to start with Ned Buntline as the obvious one to contend with. I think he's probably a worthy favourite on the basis of his overall profile. Of course, he was famously the last ride that Tony McCoy ever got the leg up on at the Cheltenham Festival this year, of course, and he did in Prague with a good running fourth. He was hampered in that race as well at the top of the hill, which obviously stopped him in his tracks, and he had to rekindle the fire. I thought he did really well to finish fourth, and then unfortunately he fell at the cross fence at Aintree when he was also travelling well. And I think the fact that Tony McCoy couldn't hide his anguish and disgust that he was going that well at the time, he actually threw his helmet on the floor, and you don't see McCoy that animated all that often. So I think he felt as though he was definitely going to win that race that day. He's got good form with a bit of ease in the ground. He's a strong traveller. He usually jumps well. That was a blip on the landscape that has never been there before. He's got Carberry on board. If ever a jockey was tailor-made for a horse other than McCoy, of course, it would be Paul Carberry on, a strong traveller who's obviously got his quirks. So it is really about Ned Buntline, whether he puts it all in and whether he's on the kind of form that he has been of late. If he is, then he's most likely to be involved. You've certainly got to throw into the equation the likes of Upazo and Jackson's Lady. And I think Grey Gold could also outrun his odds. He's one that maybe might just be slightly underestimated here. I was a little bit disappointed with him last time out at Newton Abbott, but prior to that, he'd finished second to Sire de Grouse on genuine soft ground at Chepstow. And, of course, he's 1-for-1 here at Punchestown. He won here 2 years ago, that good novice's chase, which he took. So one's perhaps seeking solace in a little bit of value. Might look towards Richard Lee's 10-year-old, who might give you a decent run for your money at double-figure odds.
Couple to consider there then in the 4:15. The 4:50 is the third race on the card. This is the cross-country chase for the Latouche Cup. It's over 4 miles and 1 furlong over the Banks course. And quantitative easing is the 11-10 favourite. 11-2 for Rivage d'Or. Uncle Junior is 6-1. 13-2 for Dagora. 14s for Keep on Track and 16s or bigger for the others. Quantitative easing, much shorter than the rest of these. And the 11-10 at the top of the market. You can see why he loves these kind of races, but do you side with him or do you take him on here?
It's just such a short price, isn't he, really? I mean, everyone could see how unlucky he was at the Cheltenham Festival. A lot of sort of race analysis afterwards suggested that he would have won very easily that day. I mean, Rivage d'Or, don't forget, he was also going well at the point where quantitative easing made his exit when he was taken out rather annoyingly for connections at the second last. It's conjecture where he would have finished. I mean, the one thing about quantitative easing, for all his ability and sometimes obviously his unluckiness in races, he's actually only won 3 races in 30-odd starts. So he does come with his risks attached. Now, I know he probably might be the most likely winner with a clear round, but, you know, given that he's got to run 4-mile 1, he's got to avoid all the trouble, all the banks around here that this unique course has in its way, then do you really want to be taking such skinny odds? obviously Edna Bulger is just absolutely just flying at the moment with these horses in this in these kind of races. Nina Carberry's as well. She's going out there riding with an amazing amount of confidence. But yeah, it's just not the kind of horse I want to be backing at a short price. Therefore, I do suggest that we perhaps look towards Rivage d'Or, who won that race at the Cheltenham Festival in ridiculous ease, really, to be fair. And even though David Russell doesn't take the ride here, he's got an able substitute in the shape of Brian Cooper. He ran in the Irish National last time out on ground that wouldn't have suited him. And don't forget that the Punchestown Banks course is actually still good to firm in places on the inside course, where nature has obviously hasn't really taken its course. So, like I say, I think if you just avoided the favourite here at a short price and went to something that will give us a good run for our money on ground that will suit on a horse that's been round the banks before, then you'd look towards Rivage d'Or. And he's available back at 5-1, 6-1 this morning. So that's the way I'm going to play the banks race. The Latouche, I'm going to go with Rivage d'Or each way to run well for us at a decent price.
Rivage d'Or for Andy then in that one. The 5:30 is one of the big races on the card. It's the World Series hurdle, a grade one over 3 miles. It's Hurricane Fly against Jeski, but not as we know it. It's over 3 miles this time, and it's 9-4 for Hurricane Fly. Jeski is 7-2, 6-1 for De Dig Out, 10-1 for Lieutenant Colonel, and 14s or bigger for the others. Do you see it between the big two here, Andy?
I don't actually know. I'm thinking that it could have well gone the way of the Dig Out, but I'm just looking on Odds Checker this morning. I've got a funny feeling that the Dig Out's going to be a non-runner. I think he's been scratched off the lists in several places. So this race now has a totally different complexion from the way I was looking at it 24 hours ago, because I was quite liking the chances of Tony Martin's 9-year-old, given that the ground has definitely gone on the soft side. Yeah, like I say, he looks like being a late withdrawal. Of the big two in the market, then you'd have to say that maybe Jeski, on the evidence of his Aintree run, might have a better chance of the two of getting the distance. He settles well. He moved into that race at Aintree off the back of strong fractions very easily. And in the end, he was very strong in the finish. Well, obviously, whether he would have won is up to debate. Whether Arctic Fire would have taken that 2.5 mile contest is... one for race goers to talk about in the pubs and clubs. But I do like Jeski. He's a horse I've always had on my sort of mind as being a top-class horse and a horse that would stay there for quite a few years. And the fact that he's got such a fantastic record here at Punchestown also goes in his favour as well. Hurricane Fly, well, of course, if he gets the trip, then he's going to be a major, major danger to all. And let's not forget Lieutenant Colonel as well. For one reason or another, he just didn't fire at Cheltenham, but he's got a fantastic record going right-handed. He loves soft ground. He's a Grade 1 winner. And he's already been a majority of these fields on many occasions already in the past. So at 10-1, Lieutenant Colonel probably would be the obvious each-way choice. Now the Dig Out's going to be confirmed a non-runner. So that's why I'm going to play this race. I think Jeski, of the front two in the market, would be the one I'd side with. But at the prices, I think Lieutenant Colonel, on his soft ground, ran a track that he's gone well before, would be the solid each way bet.
Yeah, I can confirm that De Dig Out is a non-runner. Apparently he's coughing, so that's why. The 6:05 is the next race at Punchestown. This is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles. We've got a field of 25 here, and Pleasant Company is 3-1 at the top of the market. It's 9-1 for Roll It Out, who's been supported from 14s. Guess Again is 10s, 12s for Mine Now from 16s, 14-1 for Rogue Trader and Sombremont, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Who do you like in the 6:05?
Yeah, like many races here at the Punchestown Festival, it's a race that revolves around a Willie Mullins trained individual in the shape of Pleasant Company, who was strongly fancied to land a handicap similar to this a few weeks back. He was sent off 11-8 favourite, having been backed in from 5-2. And for the majority of that race, most punters were probably sitting quite comfortably with the way the race was developing. But then as they had the rush off the home turn into the home straight, Ruby Walsh found himself in an uncompromising position, and he had to use up a lot of petrol to get to the leaders who obviously kicked off the home turn. And it was that energy which he expended at that point in the race which eventually, in my opinion, cost him the race. He ended up running on quite strongly, but not quite strongly enough to reel back two in-form horses in the shape of Jimmy Two Times and the Fine Article. But the race has worked out really well. It looked a solid race on paper at the time. But we've already seen two horses out of two horses that have run subsequently have both won. So I think it's a real solid piece of form. Reading the comments in the Racing Post today, I think William Mullins suggests that this horse will A, improve for the run the other day, and also improve for the step up in trip. And if that's the case, off a mark of 124, he could be seriously well handicapped. Obviously, there's plenty of others in here with chances. It's a handicap, and lots of other horses are coming in good nick. But I do think this is a particularly well-treated individual, Pleasant Company. He looked the part at Fairy House. He perhaps should have won, and hopefully Ruby Walsh will ride him a little bit more positively than he did last time out, and I think that could be the difference.
On to the 6.40 next, another Grade 1 contest. This one is the Ryanair Novice Chase. It's over 2 miles, field of six here, and Undersow is unsurprisingly at the top of the market, 1-5 at the time of recording this. 7-1 for Smashing, Just Cameron is 16-1 with Melodic Rendezvous, 33-1 for Real Steel, and Ted Veal is the 40-1 outsider. Kind of hard from a betting perspective, Andy, but how do you see the 6.40 going?
Well, the only thing we can do, really, from a betting perspective, is trying to find the horse that's going to chase home Undersow, and that looks to be Smashing on all known evidence. He finished third in the Grade 1 last time out at Fairy House, proving himself a good horse in his own right. And, of course, he chased home Willie Mullins, his superstar, early on in the season at Fairy House as well. He's a fairly solid jumper, and barring accidents, you'd imagine he'd get the better of Melodic Rendezvous and Just Cameron et al. To chase home what should be a very impressive winner in the shape of Undersow, who's just looked an absolute dominant force in this category all season long. You know, he's rightly already priced up as next year's champion chase favourite, and barring accidents, you'd imagine he'd cement that position in the market pretty comfortably. You know, he's a solid jump, he goes off with great zest, and he's just a sight to behold, really. I think racegoers, taking betting aside, are just going to hopefully enjoy his performance this afternoon, savour it, and just say they've seen a very special horse. So if you're just watching the race from a pure betting perspective, then you'd look to back Smashing without the favour. But if you're just going to sit back and enjoy and wonder at a marvellous beast in full flow, then obviously you just don't have a bet in the race and just watch Undersow cruise to victory.
Undersow to beat Smashing in the 6.40. Then the 7.15 is the penultimate race on the card. This one is a mare's novice hurdle over 2 miles. And Willie Mullins has a bit of a stranglehold on this one as well. He's got three of the first four in the betting, including joint favourites with Urana and Lyrical Theatre, who are both 3-1. It's 5-1 for Hannah's Princess. Whiteout is sevens. And 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. Is it going to be another winner for Willie Mullins here, Andy?
It looks that way, doesn't it, really? I mean, Hannah's Princess is the pick of the English Raiders, and maybe the ground's just gone a little bit soft for her. Warren Greatrex has always said that his mare is the better horse on a better surface, so the rain that they've had in the last 24 hours certainly diminished her chances, whereas all the Mullins runners haven't got an issue with the ground. Urana, Lyrical Theatre, of course, Whiteout, they've all had plenty of opportunities to run on ground similar to this. And the best form is the ones is the one that we saw last time at a Fairy House. It was the race that Peter Puzzle took that Grade 1 contest for mares, but back in third was Lyrical Theatre, and just behind was Urana. There was only 3/4 of a length difference between them on that occasion. But of course, today they're dropping back down to 2 miles, so that might see Urana turn around the form. I'd certainly go with Urana based on that performance at Sandown as well. She travelled really well and beat a really good field on that occasion. And you know, Ruby Walsh knows her really well. The soft ground, which has fallen on the road, sorry, that has fallen on the track and made the ground softer, will certainly play into her strengths. And it looks well. It looks a fight between the two. But I'll go with Urana. Although she finished fourth last time out behind Star the Companion, I think she can turn the tables around.
The final race at Punchestown this afternoon is the 7.45. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and York Hill is the 6-5 favourite. 4-1 for Newsworthy. OK Coral is 4-1 as well. It's 9s for Solatentif, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's the next instalment in the hills, if you like, with York Hill coming from Colin McKeever, following in the footsteps of Briar Hill and Bells Hill. Already has quite a tall reputation. Andy, do you see him living up to it today?
Well, he certainly looked impressive, didn't he, the other day at Garen when we saw him back in early March. You know, he's had a whole host of horses he could have run in this race. William Mullins, he ran 5, of course, yesterday in the Champion Bumper, and he came up trumps with him in a Bells Hill. There's every chance that York will have fallen in his footsteps, as you said. But I do think he'll have quite a bit on his plate here, up against two very nice and promising horses from the Nicky Henderson stable in the shape of Newsworthy and OK Corral. They, of course, both won races respectively on the same day back at Kempton on the 6th of February. But it was my speed figures that suggested that maybe OK Corral is the best of the two, and that's the way I'm going to go here with Nina Carberry on board. The form of that race, of which he won at Kempton, has already been boosted by the third, the unit, winning a really good race at Newbury subsequently. And even though Newsworthy was also very impressive in his race, my sectional times from sort of halfway down the back straight, and in particular the home straight, suggested that OK Corral was the stronger of the two. So hopefully my numbers won't let me down. I'm going to go with OK Corral. His rivals are back at 4-1 this morning. I think that's a decent value bet against the favourite in the last.
Fantastic. Let's just have a quick summary then, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections for Punchestown one more time.
Yeah, we start off with the best bet of the day in the opener. I do think this bog war is potentially still well handicapped off the back of two scintillating performances, and I suggest you back him accordingly. 4.15, it's a race I haven't really got a strong opinion. I think these two-mile handicap chases are always a bit of a head-scratcher, but I thought Grey Gold might run well for the travelling connections of Richard Lee. In the cross-country race, the Latouche, a race, of course, which has been farmed by Edna Baldry in recent times, he's got a worthy favourite in the shape of Quanta Division, but at the same time, I do think we shouldn't overlook the claims of Rivage d'Or, who was impressive at the Cheltenham Festival, and Grand is going to encounter this afternoon. It's a shame that Didigat's a non-runner in the World Series hurdle, because I do think he'd put it up to the front two in the market, but without his participation, I suggest we go with the other Giggingstown runner, Lieutenant Colonel, who was available to back at 10-1 each way this morning. In the 6.05, again, Willie Mullins hold all the aces here with pleasant company, and hopefully he can put behind him a slightly unfortunate run the other day in Fairy House. Underskill should win by half a track in the Ryanair Novices Chase, and hopefully smash in Byron Accents to chase him home. Again, Willie Mullins dominates the 7.15, the Mayor's race, but I'm going to stick with the Ruby Walsh-ridden Urana. And in the final race, decent-looking contest with York Hill. I have to give Willie Mullins yet another winner in a race of this nature, but he's got a serious, serious opponent here on this occasion in the shape of Newsworthy, and my selection, OK Corral, who should put it up to him at the very least.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andy. Good stuff. Good luck and enjoy the action in Punchestown today.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.